The Lowell Green Podcast is brought to you by Scheel Furniture and Appliances in Pakenham. See Scheels.ca.
We made it. We survived, right?
We did.
You got power back when this morning?
Late last night, around 8 o'clock, and the internet was restored about an hour or so after that.
Blossom Park, which is where you live.
Yep.
It's very, very hard. Apparently about, I guess other than Navin and the Cumberland area, Blossom Park in the city itself is about the hardest hit, I think, of them all. Am I correct on that?
That's what I'm hearing. Yeah, I haven't driven around much of the city, just my own neighborhood, but that's the sense I get, yeah.
You know, one of the worst experiences, now I'm sure that everybody has a different story, but as far as I was concerned, I think one of the worst aspects was the sense, in my case, of total isolation, because not only did we not have heat or water, by the way, because we're on a well, but we had no means of communication. Our cell phones didn't work. Internet was down. I like to stay plugged in. I check the news and all the different newspapers, and we talk with friends, and so I'd like to stay on top of things. But I was totally, for 3 days, I was like, I felt just cut off. You know what? I began to feel like some of those senior citizens must have felt when they were isolated in long-term care at the beginning of the pandemic. And it really shook me, this feeling of isolation. Yeah. First time in my life I experienced that. But I got to tell you, John, thank God for swimming pools. Because otherwise, I don't know what people in the rural areas who are on wells, if you don't have a swimming pool, I don't know how they flush their toilets, because we
got a bucket. Is that what you were doing, really?
Well, of course.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay. So thank goodness. I, for some reason, about 2 weeks ago, I discovered that there were no buckets in this house. I said, hey, we can't have a house without a bucket. So someone went out and we bought a bucket. So we had a bucket, and we bucketed water out of the pool to put in the toilet. So that worked fine. But there was, I know that a lot of suffering, I think downright suffering. I mean, a sense of isolation, no food. Thank goodness for barbecues, though.
Yes.
Did you use your barbecue?
Oh,
you
exclusively.
I learned how to cook bacon on the barbecue. I learned, first of all, you got to have a cast iron, because first I was going to put a regular frying pan into the barbecue.
Can't do that with a plastic handle.
You can't do that with a plastic handle. What's the matter with you? So she pulled out, she had stored away someplace, this cast iron frying pan.
There you go.
And it worked wonderful. So I did I learned for the first time, I didn't have two frying pans. I cooked the bacon there on the Barbie, and then I cooked my eggs right beside the bacon.
Yep.
Now, Debbie, who is not crazy, doesn't like bacon at all and doesn't like bacon grease. She shuddered at the idea of eggs cooked in bacon grease. But can I tell you,
it was
delicious.
Yeah, Debbie.
One of the nice, and I'm sure, you know, one of the things about disaster, and this was a disaster, no question. One of the things about disasters of this kind is that it can bring out the worst in people, but very frequently it brings out the best. And let me tell you one of the really heartwarming little stories. So this is Monday morning. We've had no power, no heat, et cetera, et cetera. And Debbie and her sister, they've got to have morning coffee, or they are you just can't live in this house unless they've had coffee. So there's a neighbor just moved in about 6 months ago. We've hardly met them. We don't know them very well.
Right.
But he stopped me. I was out in the yard, and he stopped me, and he says, Mr. Green, is there anything we can get for you? And I said, we're fine. I said, you know what? If you could just warm up some coffee, we'll go get coffee. The next morning, at about 8 o'clock, there's this tap, 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 little, I thought at first it was a woodpecker or something at the door. I don't pay much attention. Tap, 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 tap. So down I go, and here I open the door, and here is this little wisp of a girl, little 6-year-old Mia. She's, you know, very, very tiny and very scared. She's got a cardboard box with 3 full cups of coffee. Aww. And 3 croissants. But she is you can tell it. And the parents nowhere in sight.
No, really?
Parents sent her. So I look across, and she's six, and her little brother, who I'm not sure what his name is, he's scared skinny, okay? He sees me, boom, boom, he's gone down the stairs across. He's running like a bat out of hell, okay? He says, you know, I don't know what he's heard about this Mr. Green, but whatever it is, it's scared the heck out of him. So anyway, but she stood her ground. I said, oh, thank you so much. What's your name? And she just was, I could barely hear. Mia said, you thank your parents very much. So there, and it was good coffee. I don't know if they cooked it in their own, or, you know, made it in their home, or if they went out and got it. But I thought this was really neat. They sent the 6 and the 5 year old children,
sure,
to bring it here. It was really great. And the coffee was good. And the croissants were good. But so now I'm sure everybody else has got a story, but sometimes you can make bad decisions. So all day on Monday, we were told we're staying on top. Debbie's finally got a cell phone that's been charged, and they're saying that we will have power restored at 6 o'clock that night. 6 o'clock comes, no power. So we check again. They said we won't have power until 6 o'clock tomorrow, and it's going down to 5. So at this point, I mean, you know, haven't had a shower, cooking on the grill, and the barbecue loses a little bit of its appeal, et cetera. So I said, you know what? To hell with it. Let's book up, see if we can find a hotel or motel someplace. So we checked several places in Ottawa, absolutely full. Everybody's got the same idea. I said, okay, you know, as a last resort, let's check Elmont. So we get the Quality Inn, one last room. Mary Helen wants to stay. She's going to keep. So anyway, we bundle up. We get in the car. We thought, you know what? We'll go to Aaron Pryor. They got a couple nice restaurants.
Yep.
We'll have a lovely meal, etc. So we check in, only to find out that there's no food left in Elmont. Apparently, everybody has wised up to the fact that there's gas in Elmont,
mm-hmm,
and food. So JR's restaurant, which is good, they ran out of food at 8 o'clock. So they wouldn't let anybody in after 7 o'clock.
Oh.
So we got no food. Not only that, okay, so I did manage to round up a sandwich, Debbie, but anyway. So we just get back into the room, and we get the phone call. Guess what? What? The power is back on. So we left at 7. The power comes on at 7:30. By this time, I said, "To hell with it. We're staying here." You know, so we did. So anyhow, we stayed in the motel, a nice little room and everything. And then the next morning, we stopped at Tim Hortons. Thank God, Tim Hortons was open. But I have to tell you something. How these things can really make you stupid, okay? I mean, sometimes the brain is not functioning that well anyway. So we're lying there, and I'm trying to get the television doesn't work very well. There's two, I don't know, I can't figure it out. So I'm a little grumpy. And I said to Debbie, have you got any change, honey? What do you want change? No, I don't. But what do you want change? I said, there's a machine just outside the door rattling away. So I said, I'd like to get a drink. She said, we don't have any change, just drink water. I said, where the hell am I going to get water? She looked at me like I was crazy. She said, well, you might try the tap.
Novel idea.
But you see, for three days, we'd have no water in the hole. So it never occurred to me that all you have to do is turn the tap on and you get all the water you want.
I feel you. I was sitting alone. It was a Monday, Tuesday, and I thought, I'm so bored. You know what? I'm going to do some vacuuming. Plug the vacuum cleaner. Duh.
I read that. And then not only that, every time you go into like the closet, it's dark.
Right.
You flick the switch on. How many times did you do that? The switch on and... But you were smart. You got a generator there.
Yeah, I've had a generator for a while. In fact, I've got two. I bought a larger one after the ice storm, and I bought a smaller one because I found a real deal on it. And I thought, you know what, for parades and things that we're in, to keep the sound system going, fantastic. Of course, now the truck's got a built-in plug, so now I've got two generators that take up space in the garage, which I laugh at and kick myself for a lot until these things happen. And then, you know, I just kind of celebrate my stupidity. So,
well, I'm thinking seriously of getting a full-scale. You know, very clearly.
One of the ones that switches automatically when the power goes out?
Yeah, Generac, I guess.
We've got the cottage. It's fantastic.
It is, eh?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Facebook sometimes is a pain in the butt, but sometimes it can be kind of helpful. And so I went on. I said, I'm thinking of getting an. I got about 100 responses.
Sure.
And almost everybody recommended Generac.
Yep.
Said, you know, don't fool around with some of this other good. So probably going to do that. But boy, they're expensive. Holy smokes!
Yeah.
All right.
And they don't run on windmills or solar.
So what I'm thinking for the rest of the program, some of your experiences, got any funny stories?
Oh, great.
Any neighbor helping neighbor stories? My neighbor, I have to get across there. They're down. I can't walk that far. So I'm going to have to drive down to thank them very much. But the sight of that little Mia standing there, and
that's great.
And she was so nervous. Obviously, this is probably the first time that these kids had done something like to go up to a stranger, right?
Other than trick or treat, probably.
Yeah, but it was great. We were, you know, and when I tell you, this household broke out in cheers when they saw the coffee coming in. Otherwise, you know, one of the problems was we go looking for coffee to find a place that's open. Like on Sunday, we couldn't find any place that was open. So one thing I can suggest, okay, whatever you do, do not try to make coffee on the barbecue. It is perhaps one of the most vile liquids you could possibly imagine. But God, anyway.
I've done all right with it.
Oh, well, I don't know what we did. We just put coffee in and boiled water, and it was pretty gross. But anyhow. John, you had some damage in your house, I understand.
So, you know what? I had been in Peterborough, as you know. We did the show from Peterborough on Friday, and yes. I was driving back on the Saturday. Picked my wife up at her workplace because she was working until about 3 that afternoon, and dropped over to Longham McQuaid to drop off a couple of things I had rented for that show. And we were talking about, you know, we got the alert on our phone that this, you know, that there was a storm. And we thought, oh, fun. Let's go watch the storm, because
oh boy,
yeah, right. And we were just walking to go to the deck, and the only thing I remember, wow, Lola saying, "Holy crap, the barbecue cover's flying!" I totally didn't see the massive tree that was also flying right, ooh, at the house. So I was at the patio door. About 5 feet to my right is a very large window that we've got from our dining room looking out onto our backyard. And the tree came crashing right through that, crushed the gazebo beyond recognition, smashed the privacy screens on the deck, patio furniture, the whole nine yards, the fences is down. You talk about, you know, how these events tend to bring people together. You know, I've got a very long and well-documented, because I post everything on Facebook, disagreement going with neighbor of mine.
Feud. The Hatfields, yeah, and McCoys.
Yeah. And you know, I said to him about 2 years ago, don't ever talk to me again. I mean, it just got that bad. Do not ever talk to me again. Anything you need to say to me, you go through police, you go through bylaw. I mean, it got that bad. Well, mm-hmm, there you are the next day, of course, or that afternoon. I'm a human being. I said, are you guys okay? His initial response was, mind your own business. But then he called me over, and we talked for a couple of minutes, and we decided that, you know what, we don't have to like each other, but we got to respect each other. And
good.
You know,
good.
So yeah, and the entire neighborhood, I'm on a court, and it's kind of like Mayberry here. And you know, I watch people running back and forth from house to house, sharing generators, running extension cords up and down, you know, climbing ladders, offering assistance for roofs that were damaged, etc. My neighbor next door was at his cottage. We ended up calling them. He called a guy in from, you know, up around his cottage. A guy came in from Perth, cut his tree, cut my, you know, the tree that came down in our backyard up. So, you know, teamwork makes the dream work. There's really good things out of this.
People, for the most part, people want to help.
They do.
Yeah, there's no question about it. The one I feel, well, not one, but one of those that I feel most sorry for is my old friend Wyatt McWilliams. You know, his barn apparently just totally destroyed. They got the farms in and around Navan, Cumberland, very heavily damaged.
Yep.
And it really... Poor old Wyatt. I mean, there's been nobody, I don't think, anywhere that's been kinder and more helpful in the community. You know, his charitable work goes back for many years. He was heavily involved in the food aid that I was involved with. That was really his idea, to be honest with you, and has raised literally tons and tons of meat for the various food banks, etc. So poor old Wyatt McWilliams, you know, he's very visually impaired to begin with, but the Heart of Gold and I guess the storm really just hit him terribly hard out there. So I'm not going to say thoughts and prayers, that's so mundane, but certainly our sympathies go out to Wyatt. Right. And Wyatt, and I know a number of people in that area listen. If there's any, I don't know what we can do, but if there's anything, even if you want an appeal or something, both John and I, I'm sure, would be only too happy to do it. And that, by the way, goes true for anybody else that that needs something, that we can make a public appeal. That's what we can do. So we can do that.
Yep. If you need water to flush your toilets, Lowell has a pool. So we're there for you, Ottawa. We're there for you.
And the pool is still there. Well, bring your own bucket.
Glad your pool's still there. I'm sure there's a few that are gone.
So thank goodness for pools and for barbecues.
Yeah, and generators.
And taps that run water. On a different issue. And by the way, John, tell people how they can get in touch with us.
So we're getting a lot of stories in, Lowell, and I'm happy to read those to you. But of course, as always, we're happy to talk about anything, I'm assuming, that people want to bring up. So here you go. The number is 613-413-2217. 613-413-2217. We're on Lowell's Facebook. We are on my Facebook. We're on the Blast the Radio Facebook page. So wherever you post your comments ordinarily, do that. Same with YouTube. Same with twitch.tv/blasttheradio. You know what? All your show links, smart speaker links, etc. If you go to lowellgreen.com or blasttheradio.com/lowellgreen, we'll take you right there.
Great stuff. I would be remiss if I didn't comment for at least a moment on what I think is not a tragedy, but really, it really saddens me. I refer to the passage of Bill 96 in the province of Quebec, which is, no question about it, highly, highly discriminatory towards Anglophones. I understand, and I have in the past defended the right of French-speaking Quebecers to preserve their language and their culture. I think that's a great idea. I wish we in English Canada did a better job of it. However, this obviously goes too far. This is well over the line. One of the things I think we've got to remember, while it's true that Quebec today and actually since Confederation and before has been largely Francophone, there is absolutely no question, and history bears this out, that Anglophones have played a major role in the life and the culture and the prosperity of the province of Quebec. I heard the premier just the other day talking about how Quebec was doing better economically than any other province. Well, let me just say that Anglophones have played a major part in that. Anglophones have a role in Quebec. They've always had a role. They have contributed greatly to the economy, to the culture. They have almost unequivocally supported the right of Francophones to speak their language, to keep the culture. Almost everybody, almost all Anglophones living in Quebec now are able to speak French. But this Bill 96 is blatantly discriminatory. It is blatantly un-Canadian. And I think that in a way, it's a kind of tragedy that this sort of thing occurs in my country. I can understand, I deplore, as do we all, deplore individual acts of racism and bigotry. But when this is ensconced in law, when racial bigotry is ensconced in law, this to me is, among other things, just not only is it wrong, it's immoral, it should be illegal, and it is un-Canadian. Certainly un-Canadian in the Canada that you and I grew up in. So that's that. Some you may agree or disagree there. One of the things that really concerns me is the fact that apparently the majority of Francophones in the province of Quebec are prepared to sit back and let this happen. I find that disgraceful. Whether you are English, French, Spanish, whatever you are, it seems to me that you should all stand for freedom and be opposed to bigotry, racism in any way. And that's what we're seeing in Quebec today. There, I've said it. Let the chips fall where they may. What have you got? What's coming in there, John?
So poor Elias has called the show, and I can't get him onto the show because I forgot that cable in my briefcase for my Peterborough trip. So you're not seeing my disorganization at work at all.
Oh, okay. All right. So, what have we got?
We're just.
Oh, okay. While we're waiting
in the phone, so we can get a call from Elias. There we go. You know what, Lowell? We're good to go. You ready to take Elias's phone call?
Absolutely, Elias.
Elias, thanks for that. Thanks for being so patient, my man. I'm sorry about that. That's on me.
All right.
Just blame the storm. Just blame the storm.
All right, I will.
How did you make out, Elias? How did things go with you?
My family is doing well, thank you. We good. Just had to throw out the spoiled food. That's all.
What part of the city do you live in?
We're in Orleans.
Okay.
And we were out for, our section of the neighborhood was out for 2 days, no power. And like I said, the worst thing happened was getting rid of our food from the fridge. That's it. The freezer was fine, though.
Go ahead.
I'd like to touch on what you talked about earlier about the devastation of the farmers in Navin and in the area.
Yes.
It also goes as far as Carlsbad Springs as well. And we've seen the devastation. Now, with your permission, fellas, I have a link for a GoFundMe page for those Navin farmers. And if John and Mr. Green would let me put that GoFundMe link on your Facebook pages, that would
can
be
I
great.
Ask you before we do that, can I ask you a question? Has this been
Go
approved?
For it.
Has this been approved by the farmers themselves?
It's a friend of mine. Her name is Amanda Watson. She's very big wig in our community. She owns several businesses in the area.
I'm just a big supporter
of the farmers.
Yeah, I'm very reluctant. I don't know how you feel, John. I'm very reluctant to do something like this if we don't have the permission of those involved. I understand. I support this, but I think I'm going to have to say no until we find out if, in fact, the farmers themselves have approved this and are aware of it.
Elias, I'm willing to work.
I understand.
I'm willing to work with you. I'm willing to work with you to coordinate that and to get that information so that we can check with them and just get
Let's
their approval that.
That
it's okay. So, Elias, are you and I friends on Facebook? I think we are, right?
Yes, you are.
So
yes.
If you could send me a message with some of the information, and I'll get to work on that in my spare time, okay?
And
we can
perhaps get in touch with Wyatt as well. You understand my reluctance. I've been at this game a long time. And I've had sometimes people, you know, if you start a charitable, people can get very upset. And I don't need, you know, I've heard people say, I don't need charity. I don't need. So I just want, I'm sure that won't be the case. But I just want to make sure. So you and John can coordinate. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you very much, Elias.
Okay, fair enough, fellas. That's good.
Thank
you. John, I'll be in touch. Thanks, everybody.
Wonderful.
Very good. Thanks, Elias. Appreciate the call.
And bye. Thanks
again for being patient while I had things disorganized here. Sorry.
So, John, you'll let me know what, because then I can endorse it, but only when we find out.
Yeah, and I've only got limited experience with GoFundMe. Gregory's saying these GoFundMes can be set up so that the farmers can receive the funds themselves. I get you. Let's just make sure that we do this right.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we find out that it's legitimate, we certainly will support it. I think it's a great idea, to be honest.
Done.
A word or two about our good friends up there in Pakenham. Pakenham got hit pretty hard as well, but Shields is still in business. So I just want to assure you of that. And, as far as I understand, the huge warehouse was not damaged. So all of those appliances, all the makes, models, et cetera, that you could possibly want are still there waiting for your order. Shields.ca, Shields.ca. It's, as I've said this before, it's a wonderful website. One of the easiest websites to use I've ever seen. I mean, if I can use a website, believe me, folks, it's easy to use. So all of the makes and models, sizes, colors, and prices are all there. So it's right there. They're not afraid to show the prices. And you can compare with a big box store. If they're competitive, please, let's shop local, okay? Let's give the local bit. I've said this many times. The big box stores, the guys, you know, from China and the United States, they'll do just fine. It's the local businesses that need help. And if you can, please, let's do it. And Shields is sure as hell local. 1947, they started. John, some more. Have we got some texts coming in there?
Absolutely. So let's go to text, 613-413-2217. Hey, Lowell, yes, my neighbor offered to let me plug into his generator. We do barter, though, so he mentioned he would like to borrow my trailer in the future. I also ran over to a friend's house in Navin to turn on a generator for his sump pump since he was out of town. Yes, turning on a switch is automatic, even with no power. How about playing cards with your daughter with a flashlight? Oh, man.
By the way, I must tell you that, the flashlight. I've been doing a jigsaw puzzle here by flashlight. That's a lot of fun as well. But you know what else is driving me crazy? My granddaughter, my daughter, and my former wife are all off in France. They left the day before the big storm.
Oh, come on.
And they keep sending all of these wonderful pictures of wonderful food and wine and landscape in France. So here I am, you know, looking at what, first of all, for 3 days we couldn't get it. But then finally I did. I got all of these pictures and everything. Wonderful. I'm doing jigsaw puzzles by flashlight.
I'm celebrating my first pee by actual light.
And they're over there in France having a hell of a time. My granddaughter, three generations, my granddaughter, my daughter, and my former wife.
And all rubbing it in. And you wonder why the little kids in your neighborhood are afraid of you, Lowell. Jeez.
And you know where they are? Or they were. Avenue. Sur le pont d'Avignon.
Oh, they danse. Oh, they danse.
By the way, the bridge in Avignon, it goes nowhere. A lot of people don't understand this, but they built the bridge only about three quarters of the way across, and they ran out of money. This was generations ago. So the bridge, it doesn't go anywhere. So that's why they dance. They can't cross the bridge, so they dance on the bridge. That's where the song comes from.
So that's where the city of Ottawa learned how to build things.
Yeah, that's right. It's really quite astonishing. You're coming up. We took a canal cruise and saw it, and you see, you know, there's the bridge that ends what one quarter away from being finished.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Funny.
They must have had some Ottawa engineers.
No kidding,
one.
Right?
John Mortex.
Yeah. Speaking of French, so Kim is in on that subject. She says, "I wrote to Broussière to voice my concerns, along with so many others that I know who live in the small rural Quebec villages. I just hope that those that oppose this remember when it's time to vote in October. I think I read a headline somewhere that the feds may be stepping in. Will they actually be given the riding that our PM is from? Not so sure.
Can I tell you something? There is no way that this Liberal government Fed is going to do anything about it. This is they either win. If they win Quebec, then they win. If they can't win Quebec, they can't win. And that's all they care about. Let's be honest, okay? Let's be honest. Nothing is going to happen there. Go ahead.
Craig says, Tom and everyone else, do not remove any trees that have damaged your house or autos without notifying your insurance company, and you must take lots of supporting pictures. Craig, I feel you, and thank you for that, because that's a mistake I appear to have made myself. I had a guy in the neighborhood on the weekend. He was able to come over and cut the tree up. He cut the tree up and out of the way. I was able to cut up the damaged gazebo. I was afraid for my safety, and then came the email from the insurance company. Please leave everything as it is so our adjusters can have a look. Oh.
So put the tree back.
How do I unsaw the gazebo? Anyway, Tom is looking for anybody who's got a crane to remove a huge maple tree off his roof. So,
ooh.
Yeah, Tom, we'll try and get word out about that. But Craig's advice, I have to concur with that. Make sure you've got permission from your insurance company before you do that.
Good advice.
Let's go to Lowell Green. There's a lot of things un-Canadian going on in Canada, says Sue. The island of France is more accommodating to the English than our own Quebec. It's about time the English stood up and protested this pathetic new bill. One of my favorite stories came from Chris. Where's Chris? Chris, who I know was in line one day in Ottawa for Tim Hortons or something, and it was like an hour and a half, so he drove instead 45 minutes down to Ogdensburg to take his kid for breakfast on the weekend.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Right. As I told you, what happened was everybody went to Elmont, and they cleaned all the restaurants up. Can you imagine? They said, we're going to have a nice dinner tonight, honey, okay? So there's no food left in all of Ogdensburg.
Elmont is a lovely place. It's not set up to deal with, you know, Ottawa overwhelming it. Anyway, here's Chris's post. He says, here's what I got out of this. I was without power for 48 hours in spotty self-service. It allowed me to disconnect. I'm tied to Ukraine personally and have had an impossible time allowing my brain to shut itself off for months. It took an act of God to get me to put the phone down, but I got 48 hours of no news, and it was exactly what the doctor ordered. So There you go. I had my son, his wife, and two grandbabies here at my place as they are in Carlton Place and no power for days. My son got a generator, rushed home to hook up, came back to my end of town, had dinner here, and drove home around 7 p.m. They had power, says Darlene. Joshua, I'm big on cleanliness. We're in the country, no running water. The Monday, our neighbors came back and let us hook up a hose to their generator. Only water we had. I took some soap and blasted myself. Ice water be damned. Rather feel clean. 15 degrees is way cooler out when bathing in ice cold water. Wow.
Didn't you take a cold shower as well, John?
I still haven't recovered from that. Let's not talk about that. It's embarrassing. Some great stories, Lowell. They're being posted on Facebook. They're being posted. Of course, I will put this all together for you so you've got some light reading for yourself this evening. And there you go. We're up to 2:30. We got the show done, sir.
All right. And we're going to find out if we're going to proceed with the GoFundMe for the farmers. I think it's a great idea. Yep. And I know that many people who are listening, watching, will be only too happy to contribute. But we want to make sure that it's legit and that the money, in fact, goes to the right people. Thank you all. We'll be back tomorrow.
The Lowell Green Show is seen and heard live around the world at 2 p.m. Eastern. Connect with us online at blasttheradio.com/Lowell Green. Can't join us live? Download the Lowell Green Podcast. Available on Apple, Spotify, Google, and more. Ask your smart speaker to play the Lowell Green Podcast. This is a production of blasttheradio.com.